On this episode of Watch Time, we're going to be interviewing our new editor, Liz Ward, who's got a background in audio engineering as well as video editing, and we'll be kind of picking her brain on the three misconceptions that people have when it comes to recording audio for video production right after this. Welcome back to Watch Time, everybody. We're here today with a new special guest, Liz Ward, our video editor and audio engineer. Mm-hmm. Liz, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm excited to have you on the podcast. I'm excited for everyone to meet Liz. You've been with us now since when?
June, July, somewhere around the summer.
Okay, so it's all been about 6 months or mm-hmm. so, right? So you've been doing great work for us in the video editing, and you're doing great work with us for audio. So I thought, given your audio background, maybe we could talk a little bit about this. So prior to us getting started, though, why don't you just kind of tell our viewers and listeners a little bit about you and your background?
Well, I am a Tri-C graduate in the Ooh. RAT program, Recording Arts Technology. Mm-hmm. I recently graduated this year in awesome. May. I went for about 3 years, and I didn't think I was going to be in production. I thought I was going to be in, like, music, mm-hmm. Working in a studio, but I kind of fell in love with production because you get to do a lot more. You get to be more active. You get to be more into the work. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, and I'm excited to have you on as a Tri-C graduate because I went to Tri-C.
Yeah.
So, so I guess, like, kind of talking about these three misconceptions in audio, and I know some of these things that we've probably talked about in the past, but given your expertise, given how important it is, I think it's great to, like, bring this stuff back up again. And of these three misconceptions, starting with number one, I know we've talked about location, like understanding, like, the location where you're going to shoot your video and why that's important from an audio perspective. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of fill us in a little bit on that?
Well, it depends on where you're shooting, especially if it's like outside. You mm-hmm. have to be very aware of the wind. You have to be very aware of your surroundings. Like, what if a car goes by? What if there's people talking? What if there's like a dog barking? And, you know, what if there's wind? You have to be really self-conscious about the environment that you're in. And mm-hmm. you kind of have to just be aware of your surroundings, essentially.
Well, and I think one good thing to think about with that, and maybe this is even things that you don't even see, like just things to think about, like on a broader level of what's going on in the facility. And I don't know if I mentioned this on the ASG episode when we had Kelly and Catherine on, but when I met Kelly and I started working with her for the first time, we were actually doing a video shoot at a hospital.
Right.
And we got all set up, and it was just me by myself. It took me about half hour, 45 minutes, got set up to do an interview. We said to do a couple interviews, and it was around noon when I got there. So it was like 1 o'clock at this point. Mm-hmm. And we start recording the first interview, and all of a sudden we just hear like all this pounding, all this noise. And she's like, I don't know what they're doing upstairs, but like, can you just go like let them know we're shooting and to right. be quiet? And so like I run upstairs to the hospital and hear the whole second floor was under construction. People were yep. in there just like tearing everything up. Yep. I'm like, these guys aren't stopping. So maybe that's another thing, like even outside of the visual yeah. stuff, people can think about like what's going on in my building or what surrounds my building.
Right. And that's also goes into location scouting. Mm-hmm. You'd want to be aware of not just the visual of where you're going to set up, mm-hmm. but kind of like listen to your surroundings, what you're going to need to prepare for when you go in there. Maybe ask people, is there construction going to be going on? What's going to be happening the day we shoot? Mm-hmm. You know, you want all this valuable information. Like location scouting is very important, especially if you want to have like a smooth ride when you're shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Location scouting is very important. I know I shot for first time I ever did like a location shooting. I shot for the Stop the Pain campaign. Mm-hmm. It was about gun violence in Cleveland, and it was my first time ever being a boom operator. And the man I was working with, the director, mm-hmm. he was like, "You got to make sure that like you know, you got to tell me like what you hear and if mm-hmm. anything is like interrupting the audio." And I had to do that a lot because we didn't know this at the time.
Yeah.
We probably should have. There were people mowing the lawn at the location. We were at a cemetery. We mm-hmm. were outside.
Yeah.
So there were people mowing the lawn. There was a lot of wind. Mm-hmm. We were right next to a busy road. Mm. So I had to stop the director a lot and be like, "Hey, this person needs to redo their lines because I could barely hear them." I mean, when it comes to wind, like, you can kind of get, like, specialty mics, and you can get specialty tools for the mic. Mm-hmm. For example, like, people say, like, a sock. Mm-hmm. It's basically, like, this fluffy sock that goes over the microphone. It helps, kind of, with the, like, wind and, like, kind of noise around. Mm-hmm. But I know for one of the locations we did, it was so windy that the sock didn't help. So what we did was we emptied out our truck and we put the person inside the truck, and then we kind of put the boom pole in the truck, and it was kind of like we only recorded the audio for that. We didn't need to record video, so it was basically like putting them in a makeshift studio. So I mean, you gotta just go on the fly.
Had to innovate.
Yeah
that's great. And actually, I think that that's a great lesson for the people that are watching, listening, because we always talk about like length of a video shoot and things that people don't think about. And this is one of those things that I don't think people really do think about, like when they go, oh, well, we're going to shoot outside. Can we just do a half day shoot? And it's like, yeah, that's great. But like, to your point, what happens if there's wind? What happens if you have this thing scheduled and all of a sudden, like, there's the landscapers come out for like an hour, and now you're an hour behind, or you have to innovate and come up with a creative solution.
That's why we need to be there like at least an hour early before the actual like start time for call time.
So an hour before even the crew shows up to set up their equipment.
I mean, like, or I mean, just when the crew, like the crew needs to be there an hour before everyone else. At least, or maybe 30 minutes if they know what they're doing. Like if it's like a tiny location. But an hour gives you really good time to really set up everything, get prepared, and be able to fix any mistakes of the equipment or the setting before like your call time, before you're ready to go. You should be ready to go instantly, like ready to go at the call time.
Well, so now that you mentioned equipment, it's got me thinking about the second misconception, and I think that's really people thinking about like microphones in general. Like they think one mic, like, hey, I got a mic on my phone, so I can just record this. So like, can you talk a little bit about like how there are different types of mics? Like, is that something you kind of have to prepare for?
Yeah, there are a lot of different microphones for different scenarios. There's different microphones for outside. There's different microphones for inside. There's different microphones for ambience, like noise. And there's different microphones for like close, like up close and personal sound. It, you have to really do your research on it before you go out and shoot. You have to really prepare for which microphone you're going to bring on the shoot, because if you bring the wrong microphone, it'll say if you bring a microphone for ambience recording, but you're supposed to record for up close and personal, you might get some unwanted noise. You know?
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's really something that I feel like, even before, you know, like when this is maybe even a pre-production thing, like getting art, like the pre-production team getting together with the audio team and being like, this is what we're looking to record. And then you guys have to plan accordingly, because I'm sure there's nothing worse than getting there and then not having the mic in your bag that you need to do your job.
I mean, that's, I've had to come up on the fly. I've made mistakes where I haven't charged my, let's say, lavaliers. I haven't charged my lavaliers for the shoot, so they were basically dead. And we were on an outside shoot. I was expecting, I was assuming that the shoot was going to be inside or have power outlets. It was outside, no power outlets. So me and my team had to improvise, and we eventually got it together. We were able to scrounge up some sort of like other microphones and connect them together and kind of wing it. And it turned out great, but I mean, you have to like double, triple, quadruple check. Like, you have to make sure you are fully prepared for what is going to happen on that shoot.
Well, that makes sense. Like, if you're thinking you're going to operate a boom and then you accidentally don't operate a boom, and you're actually going to need like actual like lavalier mics to wear. So I feel like, you know, like going into that with your mindset being like, hey, we're just going to run this one mic all day, and then it changes. I'm sure that like throws that curveball at you.
Because like with a boom microphone, you kind of have to first know where your talent is going to be. You have to position the microphone accordingly. You should know their lines too, so you know where to position the microphone and where they're going.
I feel like that boom mic is what most people are familiar with. That know, they always think about movies. They think about that. If you've operated a boom, I assume.
I have quite a bit. I operated a boom microphone for the Tri-C Film Academy. Mm-hmm. We did a 3-day shoot. It was about 12-hour days. Mm-hmm. It was a tough experience.
So not easy.
No, not at all. There was one time I had to sit on a 6-foot ladder, mm-hmm. Holding a 12-foot boom pole with someone on the stairs. So I was just doing this for 15, 20 minutes at a time. I mean, mm-hmm. that doesn't sound a lot, but on your arms doing this,
yeah,
and pulling your arms up and then just kind of on a ladder too.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Well, I feel like anybody who's ever been to the gym and tried to do a wall sit, think about mm-hmm. that. Like you're sitting yeah. and that's really you resting against the wall. But mm-hmm. After a while, your legs,
it just hurts.
Yeah, it gives out.
It hurts. And a lot of experienced boom operators and audio engineers are like, oh, that's nothing. Try doing it for 3 hours straight. And I'm like, this is my first time, man.
Boom operation, not easy.
No, it's not easy. And you have to basically know the direction of what you're doing, where you're going.
So it's the 3.5 misconceptions of audio at this point.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so talking about mics, I think that was a good topic for people to better understand. And I think the third one, I know when we talked prior, that you were really passionate about this third thing, which is really understanding that music really should be picked prior to even going into the production. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I mean, yeah, I'm really passionate about music, so it is my background. But music, it really changes people's emotions. It really changes their mm-hmm. mood. It can change the mood of the video as well. For example, if you're trying to go for a happy video, but mm-hmm. yet you put somber music mm-hmm. in the video, people are going to be like, why is there somber music in this video, but it's a happy looking video? Is there something coming up? What's going to happen? People are going to be on the edge of their seat.
Yeah.
Music really changes the mood and the ambiance of your video, so you really want to think about that while you're thinking about the plot and the meat of what you want your video to be.
It's interesting because that, when you mentioned that, because I'm thinking about one of the videos you did for one of our clients, and it was on a very the topic it's interesting because the topic was they make a training rifle, so it's it was for why it's important for active shooter training. And when you put that video together, when I talked to the client, you used more of a somber music, and he actually was because we've used more harder hitting rock music for a lot of their stuff. Oh, we're training. These are police officers training. But the way you kind of chose that, he kind of was talking with me, and he goes, I like it because it creates a very serious tone, because this is a mm-hmm. very serious issue
exactly.
that needs to be addressed, and mm-hmm. training is important. So by you changing that music, you fundamentally change the whole feeling of that whole
I really
video.
Grasp the hearts of his audience.
yeah, because it's a very important topic. And,
it is.
And you definitely illustrated that. And then I think one thing to think about, because when you were talking about this with the music and the viewpoint mm-hmm. the people have, and I know we kind of talked about this earlier, but this also influences the production. So I do think it's important to pick that out, because to your point, if it's supposed to be a sadder, somber video, maybe then we need to use more slow motion. Maybe we need to change the way we light. Maybe we mm-hmm. need to change the way we shoot. And then the same thing could be said if it's faster paced and harder hitting. You're not going to want to shoot slow motion. You're not going to want to have darker tones. You might want brighter lights mm-hmm. and things like that.
And to kind of pick up on that, mm-hmm. I know this is contradictory to what I'm saying. Sometimes even no music, no mm-hmm. music kind of really hits it hard. One of the videos I made for that specific client, mm-hmm. It was talking about gun safety, and all I did was it was a black video with some text, and mm-hmm. it was children laughing in the background, mm-hmm. But there was no music. There was no somber music, but just only hearing the children laughing, but also seeing the somber text, really kind of hit hard on what the message is trying to be. Certain sound effects can really bring out a message too.
Yeah. I know our upcoming holiday video, which may be out it might not be out yet by the time this episode airs, but I know Josh used some sound effects that kind of just broke this awkward silence.
Yeah. I talked to him about that. But different sound effects really bring out the mood and the message of the mm-hmm. video. I know a lot of times you can't capture the sound effects that you need on location.
Yeah.
So that's what post-production comes into play, like Foley and sound effects, kind of like creating those to really amp up the message and the story of the whatever you're making.
I mean, I think if you think about it, even from a non-production, like more of even like a motion graphics and editing perspective, if you're creating something that's like a logo reveal, I feel like the sound effect can add a lot to a logo reveal that people don't even realize.
Yeah, like if you have like a bashing sound, like it's very energetic, or kind of like if you just do like a soft swishing sound, maybe it's more of like a softer effect. Like a kind of like different vibe to the company or what logo you're presenting.
Well, and to your point too, I feel like when you're talking about like lack of like music, I feel like people don't realize like lack of sound effect could also cause an issue in the brain where like maybe like a door was supposed to slam, but you don't hear the door slam. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then just like change it. Like it makes people stop for a second and it breaks them from the story.
Yeah, I know. I was one of the audio engineers and location mixers for a student film, horror film. And when it comes to horror films, like Foley sound effects, really, really like you want to make sure you get the right sound effects because and then it just amplifies the creepiness and the horror of the movie. Like, for example, I basically had to like hide in the corners. So setting is this man's walking down the steps and all like the camera is pointed up. All you see are his feet kind of like walking down. So I didn't want to get in the way of the camera. So I had to kind of get like military style, kind of like on my stomach, kind of like putting the boom pole up to the feet to make sure I get those creaking of the stairs, the stepping of his feet,
you know,
how slow he's walking down, and his whistling. He was whistling too. So I had to make sure I was getting his whistling. I had a lavalier on him too, so I really got like his voice and like the little like humming he was doing. It just made it 10 times better, 10 times creepier, and it really pushed the emphasis and the emotion of the short film.
And it goes back to you're basically recording multiple things at once that you're trying to manage to be able to tell that story.
Yeah, that's why you need at least two or more people on an audio team.
Yeah.
I know with this one person wanted me to be their audio engineer for their short film. And I was like, okay, well, who else is going to be the audio engineer? And he was like, oh, it's just you. And I'm like, well, I can't do everything at once. I'm not like an octo person. I don't have like eight arms. I need you need at least two or three people, depending on the size of the movie, depending on how long it is, and depending on how much you want, and how much you want to capture.
Yeah, and I think it's a good thing to keep in mind. Like we always talk about on the podcast, like how it's important for production to have, like, you know, have your camera operator, have your producer, have your gaffer, have your grip or production assistant, having an audio person there. I think, you know, no one person can make all these things work well together. So. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I did want to like sum up the three things just for everybody that's watching and listening. So really the three misconceptions, in case you didn't catch them, is, you know, understanding that location, making sure you check on that location, what's going on there the day of the shoot, what's going on there on a daily basis, what do you have to plan for, types of mics, like, so what, you know, what kind of audio are we going to have to record? Do we have to get audio on the person? Are we going to be outside? Are we going to be inside? Or do we need to get, you know, sound, like room presence or sound effects or things like that? So like making sure you have the right mics for that and planning accordingly. Boom operating is not easy. So that was 3.5. And then music, like planning that out ahead of time prior to the shoot. This way you can make sure that your actual like visuals are aligned as well as like your script is aligned and you're like telling the proper story.
Right.
So that's great. I think those are three things that, you know, for everyone that's watching and listening, make sure you're taking these in and thinking about them next time before you start working with the video production team or even like doing your own in-house production, because these are going to be key to being able to have a successful shoot. So, well, thanks so much, Liz, for joining me. It was awesome, and I'm glad to get your expertise.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Watch Time. We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode.
And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes.
And if you want your question answered on our podcast, go to flexmediacle.com/watchtime.